Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Do you ever have those embarrassing pregnancy questions that just don't seem to be addressed in your pregnancy books and apps? You might be nervous to ask your seasoned mommy friends or even your doctor. Well, today we're breaking down the top 10 pregnancy FAQs that we think are going to make you laugh. This is Preggy Pals.
Is that a plus sign?
Pink or blue?
Hospital or home birth?
What type of food should I be eating?
I think I just peed myself.
I'm pregnant. And I have to exercise?
What pregnancy glow?
Wait, was that a contraction?
Gotta make these pants fit! I've got kinkles!
What do you mean there's more than one?
You've got the symptoms, and now you've got the support you need for a happy 9 months. This is Preggy Pals, your pregnancy your way.
Welcome to Preggy Pals, broadcasting from the Birth Education Center in San Diego. Preggy Pals is your online, on-the-go support group for expecting parents and those hoping to become pregnant. I'm your host, Stephanie Glover. Thanks to all of our loyal listeners who've joined the Preggy Pals Club. Our members get special episodes, bonus content after each new show, plus special giveaways and discounts. See our website for more information. Another way for you to stay connected is by downloading our free Preggy Pals app, available in the Android, iTunes, and Windows marketplaces. Sunny, our producer, is now going to give us some information about our virtual panelist program.
All right. So if you guys are not joining us here in the studio, perhaps you don't even live in the San Diego area, then we still want you to be part of our show through our virtual panelist program. So you can do it a couple different ways. I know some of you guys love Facebook out there. Some of you guys love Twitter. So two different options here. You can like our Facebook page, and you can also follow us on Twitter. We're going to be posting throughout today's recording. I've got Twitter and Facebook up on my computer here. And we're going to be posting different questions that we're talking about here in the studio. We definitely want to hear your perspective on stuff. Of course, today's episode is about funny things that happen during pregnancy and questions that we're too scared to ask most of our doctors. And so we're going to chat about it today, and we want to hear what you have to say. So like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and be part of the program using hashtag PreggyPalsVP. And if you do so, you could win some cool prizes.
Awesome. Thank you, Sunny.
Yep.
So we're just going to go around and introduce our panelists here. I'll go ahead and start. My name is Stephanie Glover. I'm 32 years old. I am a stay-at-home mom to two little girls, ages 3 and 11 months. My first daughter, Gretchen, was born cesarean, and my second, Lydia, was my VBAC baby.
Hi, I'm Annie. I'm the former host of Preggy Pals, but I keep hanging around. I just love these group of ladies. I'm 36 years old. I'm a labor doula. And I have no due date. I have three little girls. My first was a hospital birth. My second was a planned home birth. Had a little couple of issues. We transferred to the hospital. Had her 20 minutes later in the hospital. And then my third was a planned home birth.
You know what's funny is all three of us have been host of Preggy Pals.
We have.
We need to take a picture of who we are. You guys have to visit our Facebook page. We're going to take a picture and put it up on Facebook. Three generations of Preggy Pals hosts. Okay, hey everyone, I'm Sunny. I am producing today's show. I'm subbing in for Samantha. And a little bit about myself, four kids under the age of 4. And my oldest is Sayre. He is 4 years old, will be 4 years old actually next week. And then Urban's my middle guy, he's 2. And then Ainsley and Addison are my identical twin girls, and they are 8 months old. I had a vaginal birth with my first and two planned cesareans after that. The twins were a planned cesarean, but baby A decided to break the water early, 3 weeks earlier than planned, and so I gave birth still via cesarean, but it was kind of a planned cesarean then kind of not.
Like, do you know who baby A was?
Ainsley. Ainsley was baby A.
So you gotta watch her.
I know. She starts
stuff. She's a troublemaker.
She does. She starts stuff.
See, and that starts already, that personality, you know?
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Okay, so today we have a fun pregnancy headline for you guys. You may have seen this online. Olympian Alicia Montano crosses the finish line at 8 months pregnant. So she is a runner. She was actually at the U.S. Track and Field Championships this last week, and fans were screaming, not because, you know, she had this fantastic time per se, but because she was 8 months pregnant, and I have the photo here.
Did she win?
It's absolutely unreal. No. In fact, she came in dead last, but that's not the point.
Yeah.
Right? The point is that she's freaking 8 months pregnant and running.
And how's she not peeing herself?
That's what I want to know. We actually don't know. You know, I can't see anything running down
that's
her leg.
That's not what, ladies and gentlemen.
So anyways, she did get the go-ahead from her doctor.
Yeah.
Everything was fine. Actually, she's seeing a midwife and doctor. Mm-hmm. Got both of their clearance before entering the race, and the baby was more than fine. But you don't typically see this. And Annie, no. I know that you were a runner or are a runner. Is it past tense?
Yeah, I don't run anymore. I'd like to eventually get back into it. But, you know, they don't make jogging triple strollers. So, yeah, I haven't done it for a while. But that's what stopped me through my pregnancy number one and two, my first two children. I ran till like the end of my second trimester. But that's really what it was just a loss of bladder control. It was a lot of weight on my bladder. And then with my first pregnancy, especially, it was the point where I would stop every 5 minutes to use the bathroom. I guess if she's doing a 200-yard dash, then, you know, that's not so much an issue.
And it actually doesn't say what, and I don't know much about this runner in general. It doesn't say what she was running, that she was competing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't imagine doing something, I mean, at that kind of elite level. She's an Olympic runner?
She's an Olympic, yeah. It says Olympian,
wow.
So, yeah.
In my past life, I did distance running as well. And,
yeah.
And we conceived our first, the
on
weekend.
On the track?
No. No. Distance. I could never be a sprinter. Yeah. Oh, my goodness, I don't have it in me. But we conceived her the weekend after my husband and I completed our first half marathon.
Oh, good for you guys.
And yeah, so we're like, okay, well, let's just do that. And then we'll try for a baby, and got pregnant right away. But I was so tired that first trimester. There was no movement whatsoever. And then like the second trimester, maybe I could have picked it up, but I had some bad sciatic nerve pain.
Yeah.
And so it's past life, but I would, again, love to pick it up at some point.
See, that's a really good point, is that not only did she run this race, but you have to train. So think about how much running she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, that's pretty amazing that her body allowed her to do. I mean, good for her.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of care practitioners, they say if you do, as long as it's not, you know, skydiving, you know, downhill skiing, you know, things that would possibly cause an impact with a fall,
right.
As long as you're doing a intense exercise before you get pregnant, continuing it, but just listening to your body.
Yeah, don't pick up marathon running when you're, you know, 6 months pregnant. You've never done it before.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, with running, like you said, usually the challenge in the first trimester is the nausea /
fatigue.
And then second trimester is good, but then you start getting to the point where the belly's so big that, it's just whether it's sciatic pain or bladder control, those are the main issues.
Or labored breathing, even.
Yeah.
When your lungs are smushed and you're trying to exercise.
Yeah. Yeah, I should say that Preggy Pals did an episode on this. It was a while back, but it was about running during pregnancy. So if you guys have any other questions about that, check out that episode.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
So we're mixing it up today on Preggy Pals, inspired by Mary Kiley's online article, Fast and Funny, 10 Pregnancy FAQs That Will Make You Laugh. We're checking politeness at the door.
Politeness is always checked at the door when I'm on. Yeah.
And getting down to the nitty gritty about pregnancy and childbirth. So we're speaking candidly here about 10 FAQs that were found in her article. The FAQ number one, is that the baby kicking or just gas?
That's something I actually asked my care practitioner, but maybe I'm just more out there. Right. You know, I'm just like, you know, because they ask you, like, you know,
are you having movement?
Exactly. And... Well, because the baby, they call it quickening, mm-hmm. when mom can recognize that that's the baby actually kicking. Usually it's like 16 weeks.
Yeah, so that's on the early side. Yeah.
So that's like an important milestone that I know care practitioners, both midwives and obstetricians, are looking for. But it's really kind of hard to tell. I mean, Steph, when could you tell with your pregnancies?
You know, I didn't feel Gretchen until I already knew.
Oh, Gretchen's your firstborn, right?
Gretchen's my firstborn. Yeah. And I was 21 weeks, I think.
Yeah.
So I already had the anatomy scan and knew it was a girl. And then I felt her kick, I think, later that week.
Right.
And with Lydia, I think I was expecting a lot sooner. So mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm a seasoned mom. I'm totally going to know when I'm going to, you know, feel her kick. And I think I was about 18 weeks. Mm-hmm. How about you?
You know, with my firstborn, I distinctly remember I was sitting in a really boring, I was getting my grad degree at the time, and I was sitting in a really boring class. It was after lunch. And that was really the first time that my mind was wandering and I had just eaten something. Mm-hmm. And that's when I knew that it was the baby kicking. So before then, I guess I probably just was too busy. What freaked me out with this, though, with my third baby, because I figured, oh, you know, I'm going to know, you know, well ahead of time. And I hadn't got any ultrasounds with my third baby at all. So every time I go in for a midwife appointment, they would, you know, feel, you know, listen to the heartbeat. And so I knew that there was a baby in there and her heartbeat was good.
Right.
But I'm like, this is crazy. This is my third pregnancy. Like, or this is my third baby. I should be feeling this now. 16 weeks, 17 weeks, 18, 19, 20 weeks, nothing. And what it ended up being, I didn't even end up feeling her kick until like 24, 25 weeks, something like that.
Is it the placenta?
Yeah.
Placement? Yep.
Yep. The placenta. I had an anterior placenta. So basically that's when the placenta is on the front wall of the uterus and it was acting like a pillow and just like blocking every movement. But yeah, it freaked me out. Something good.
Well,
you know?
And it's so strange because, so when you go in to say like that, if you get that 12 week ultrasound, mm-hmm. the baby's karate chopping and you just can't feel them.
Yeah.
And that's such
they're
a strange.
So
yeah. And it's such yeah. a, they're so active and you can't feel them. So it is sort of a rite of passage once it, I think it becomes real.
Yeah.
When you can actually feel them moving around and then you know that it's a little person.
Mm-hmm.
So FAQ number 2 from the article, what on earth is going on with my boobs?
Okay. I didn't ask that to my care practitioner. No.
And I guess there could be several things going on with your boobs. They could be huge. They could be tender. They could be leaking. They could, you know, so.
I never had leaking, but I heard that has happened. Like women will have like colostrum. Like, so basically your first milk for the baby starts mm-hmm. leaking out. So.
Yeah. I didn't have that either, but I have really close friends who did. They had to wear those, you know, breast pads in their bras during
that
pregnancy.
That is a bummer. Right? Oh, that sucks. Wow.
Did you have
any breast changes?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like the first sign of my pregnancy. Of like, even before I took the pregnancy test, you know, it's just I woke up one morning and just very, very sensitive, very tender. I mean, that with pregnancy, of course, there's the postpartum, which if you're breastfeeding, or even if you're not breastfeeding, I guess, but just dealing with some engorgement when the milk comes in.
Definitely.
I was not expecting to go from the wide range of cup sizes. I mean, that was nuts. You know, I totally wasn't expecting that. Throughout my college years, I was probably an A cup. When I got pregnant, though, it swelled to kind of a B. And I'm like, oh, this is awesome. Like, you know, I suppose a woman with a larger chest that, you know, had, you know, back pain issues or issues with that wouldn't be so excited as I was about it. You know, I had the baby and, I swelled to like a D at least. You know, of course, things like calmed down and everything once my milk supply regulated. But yeah, just going through that range, I think, is something that, you know, nobody talks to you about. You don't expect that to happen.
No, in fact, that was one of my first signs of pregnancy as well, is that I had sensitivity and they seemed a little larger.
Mm-hmm.
And with my first pregnancy, I think, because I'm normally about a D, like a small D.
Yeah.
And I couldn't even find a bra size that was cup, you know, like the right cup size for my, you know,
yeah.
width or whatever.
Right.
And so I ended up, I think I went up 3 bra sizes in the first trimester and thought, oh no, mm-hmm. what are they even going to look like by the time I deliver? And luckily it regulated
they're gonna be
out.
Like, they're going to be like size S
watermelons.
Breasts. Like, do these exist? You know, only in porn, you know? Right. So.
Well, I think too, I mean, granted you don't show as quickly with your belly,
yeah.
Your first pregnancy, but I really felt like my boobs were just taking over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I'm never going to have a belly. They're so big, but yeah. they did kind of go down.
Yeah.
Yeah. FAQ number 3. Will I poo when I push?
I didn't have a fear about this. I guess I figured, well, you know, whatever. It's not a big deal.
It's natural.
Yeah.
Chances are you will.
You know, but as a doula, you know, I've run into some women are like, oh, I'm really afraid of it, you know, and they don't want to think about it or they get embarrassed that there's going to be a room full of people. And
as a doula, how do you encourage them or talk them down from that fear?
You know, I guess I got to feel it out with really, is it just like they're kind of a little bit embarrassed or it's a gripping fear,
right?
Or a gripping anxiety. Most of the time it's just a little bit of a fear or like, oh God, that seems disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and most of the time that's what I deal with. And so what I try and tell them is, or what I tell my clients is, you know, this is something that, you know, if you want your baby to come out, everything else kind of has to get out of the way. And so some of the time, a lot of the time, one of the first signs of labor is diarrhea.
Yep.
And so it's your body's way of just saying, you know what, I don't need to be doing all this digesting right now. So I'm going to clear out the whole digestive system and then we're going to get rocking and rolling with some contractions. That happens a lot.
Yes.
And so when women do push out a baby, it's really not that much. And the nurses, they're so used to dealing with it.
Very discreet.
Yeah.
Most of the time you don't even know if you did it.
Exactly.
You
just wipe it away really quick. It's not a big deal. So will you poop when you push? Yeah. Yeah.
Probably. If you're doing it right, you probably will.
If you're doing it right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So FAQ number 4. What about that drink I had before I knew I was pregnant? I think so many of us have probably been there. I have babies that came 9 months after the holiday season. There were work parties.
That's why you have a baby.
Exactly, right? And so it's always that fine line of, oh gosh, did that martini make a difference that I had at that work cocktail party?
And well, and you get scared too because you do hear about all of the, you know, we've done episodes on fetal development in the first trimester and you learn about your organs and everything, your baby's organs forming during that time. And you're like, oh my gosh, that seems like such a crucial time. And it is an important time.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, my bad that I don't worry about, I'm done having babies now, but like, I really didn't worry about this. And I like to socially drink. So when I found out I was pregnant, quit drinking, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But it just wasn't, I was just like, okay, well, you know, just hope for the best. I mean, honestly, a lot of times it was a night out that got me to the point that I was pregnant. So usually that was the catalyst.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm just kind of like, you know.
It's a long introduction. It's a good introduction to a lot of things as parenting that, you know what, you're going to do the best that you can.
Yes.
And you got to let go of the rest.
Yes.
And hello, welcome, ladies, welcome to parenting.
Yes.
You where you're not in control of anything.
Exactly. You know, so you just, you know, okay, so you had a drink or two or three or four.
Yeah.
And now you're pregnant. Well, you know, just quit drinking and move on.
FAQ number 5. Will I ever be the same down there again?
There are surgeries to correct it if you're not.
Well, I think it's important to remember that we're designed to birth the babies that we grow. Yeah. You probably will be, in my experience.
and I think that's it.
But it doesn't mean that, you know, there might be some tears, but the body is, I don't know, in my opinion, designed for it, so.
Mm-hmm. And they're battle wounds, right? You know, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, I wear some of those with pride. I mean, I am personally not the same down there in a lot of different ways, but I had some complications. So does everybody, you know, go through that? I don't think so.
No, absolutely not. Yeah. I did do pelvic floor exercises, and I mentioned this in a couple of episodes past, so that, you know, there are pelvic floor physical therapists.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's issues with incontinence, if there's issues with pain during sex, there are professionals out there to help you rehabilitate that function.
Right.
Yeah, and there's whole departments now. And I mean, depending on who your medical care provider is, and this is fairly new, something I learned about a year or so ago, they now have special certification processes for that area of the body. So someone can, it's not just, you know, a urologist or whatever looking at you, but someone that's specifically trained
like
in
a gyno-urologist.
You're a gynecologist. Yeah. That's who I saw after my first baby. I'm still seeking treatment. I got an appointment on Monday.
Yeah.
You know, so, but, you know, that's the important thing, I think, is that, you know, if something does happen or if you just don't feel right, it's okay to reach out. Like, I don't think that a lot of women, you know that. And there are so many different things they can do now and that they'll be able to do in the future. And so if you don't feel right, reach out, because odds are, whether it's physical therapy or some sort of procedure you need to have, we can do a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to just be this inevitable side effect that you just have to live with.
Exactly.
We have options.
Exactly.
So, when we come back, we'll continue our candid chat about those tough to talk about FAQs regarding pregnancy. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Today we're going through Mary Kiley's article, Fast and Funny, 10 Pregnancy FAQs That Will Make You Laugh, and opening up about our own experiences with these FAQs. So we're on to FAQ number 6. That is that a wee incontinence problem?
Well, this kind of really ties into what we were talking about before the break. So yeah, I mean, before the birth, just with running, it was an issue.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I stopped running. And then, yeah, after the birth, so I had the worst postpartum nurse. She was initially, I got somebody else, thank God. But I got up to use the bathroom and I had no bladder control. And the nurse yelled at me. I was like, you know.
Mine wasn't very understanding either. Just kind of
sorry.
The epidural.
Yeah, I just pushed out a 10-pound baby here. Can you just give me, I'm sorry that you have to clean up pee, you know. I didn't do it on purpose. You know, I'm not two. I just don't have control right now. So, you know, in my case that came back.
Yeah.
It just, you know, took a little bit. So I know, Sunny, in your case, it took longer.
It did not. It never fully returned. But I had that same exact experience. And mine happened to be a result of having my urethra stretched. When I was pushing out the baby, they put a Foley catheter in you, and there's a little inflated ball at the end of the catheter, and I actually started to push that out. That is so rare. I don't want to scare anyone out there. It does happen. We did a whole episode about this. So I don't want to talk about it too much, but feel free to search for it on our website. But I will say, you know, it kind of goes with what we were talking about before. Like, incontinence is, and people will tell you that when you're in the hospital, like, it is kind of one of the things that comes, they say, with the territory, and it should, you know, kind of clear up on its own. You know, you can do Kegels, you can do some other stuff like that to help, but sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes there was a real mechanical issue, and again, you know, there's procedures. I actually had two surgeries to help repair it, and now that I'm not planning to have any more babies, they have me on some medication that's breastfeeding friendly to help clear that up. But, you know, that whole gotta go right now, like that commercial, like that's me. And there's a little tiny pill I take every morning, and it helps, but it's not perfect. But there's, again, there's a lot of treatment. I have a kind of a road to go down, but the good news is that there's a lot of stuff available to women struggling with that.
And understanding it while you're pregnant and the postpartum implications, and even during your hospital stay. After my C-section, I had a catheter in as well until the next day. And I remember they said, okay, we're going to take it out now. And I said, will I have the urge to pee? Oh, yeah, you should be fine. And I wet myself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I remember calling. It was just this just a different feeling of being an adult and paging the nurse being like, I need to be changed.
I know.
Because I had, you know, my abdominal muscles were so tender, I couldn't really sit up and do much for myself, and just sort of laying there. And I wasn't prepared for that. I hadn't been prepared for a C-section. I didn't even know what a catheter did.
Yeah.
You know, so just kind of being aware of that going in and knowing that it's perfectly normal.
Yeah, it is. And like I said, for most women, it's going to clear right up. So if it doesn't, and people tell you, oh, it's just because you had a baby, it may not be. So if you're, however, I mean, I don't want to give numbers, but if you're, you know, out from having your baby and you feel like it's an issue, talk to somebody. Like, you shouldn't have to struggle with that. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. FAQ number 7, is it possible to avoid stretch marks?
We just did a whole episode on this. And then the consensus was,
Most women get them.
It was most of it's hereditary, yeah. She said.
Yeah.
So it kind of depends on your blood, right? And there's not really much you can do to change that. What was your guys' experience with stretch marks?
I had a few, but it was my pregnancy that I did gain more weight.
Yeah.
But I didn't get many. But again, I have my mother to thank for that. So yeah. Again, because it is hereditary, some women get them on their breasts, on their thighs, on their stomach, you know, everywhere.
Yeah.
So this, you know, and they fade over time, you know, so.
Yeah.
Same. Mm-hmm. I didn't really have many either. My mom didn't
mm-hmm.
when she was pregnant. I noticed a few actually after giving birth, just on the underside, but they already looked faded. Yeah. But I just didn't ever really see them in pregnancy. But very minimal.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, too, if you've had a C-section, I guess I have to speak from my own perspective. I focus more on the C-section scar than the stretch mark scar. So I don't know which is worse. But, like, if you've got different scars down there, your eyes will go to different things. Right. So I don't even really worry about the little tiny stretch mark scars that I can't really see. I actually have more, I think, on my breast than I do. But that is even really faded. So, mm-hmm. you know. But I'm just kind of like, okay, so I'm not going to be a Victoria's Secret supermodel like I was going to be before. You know? And I'm not above having surgery. If I feel bad about this after I'm done, as far as I'm concerned, my boobs are for feeding my babies, first and foremost. And once I'm done with that, if I'm not happy with the way they look, I will nip-tuck whatever I have to get to feel good about myself. Right. That, for me, that's what it's about. It's about me feeling good. So if I need to get some lipo or I need to do the, like, whatever, you know, to feel good about it.
But, and the good news is that stretch marks do fade.
They do fade, mm-hmm. yes. Even immediately after giving birth, that's what they said, too.
So FAQ number 8, what does labor really feel like?
Oh, Lord, we could have a whole episode on this one.
And it's hard. I mean, how to a first-time mom would you try to explain it?
It's different, though. It's different for everybody. I remember at my baby shower, a cousin of mine said, you know, I didn't even know I was in labor, and I pushed, like, twice, and then the baby fell out.
Oh, shut up.
And then that's what I said. I was like, are you kidding me? And she's like, I swear, I don't know what happened. I'm just like, I'm not going to be like that. No, I'm not going to be like that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, for me, it was all pretty remarkably kind of the same among my three babies, but can I say, you know, with a degree of certainty that everyone's going to be like me? I can say with a degree of certainty that everyone is going to be different than me. Right. For me, it's always my contractions started really far apart. I mean, it's almost like kind of in the textbook, mm-hmm. like you read about it, that my contractions start far apart. They're very manageable. They progress so that they're closer together. I can't eventually talk through them. Then to the point that I want to kill everyone in the room. And then my water breaks, and then I feel, you know, then I push out a baby.
So did you feel like a release, like a physical, like I know you probably felt the release of water, that's not what I'm talking about, but does it, if you're not under pain medication and your water breaks, and you said your water broke naturally, or did they have to break it?
No, they broke it, I'm sorry, they broke it for me for my first baby, and then it broke spontaneously for my second and my third baby, but it in transition.
Does that help at all with the pain or pressure once your water breaks?
It made it worse.
Oh, really? Because it's your body's way of triggering labor.
You don't have the cushion, and it just, I don't know what it was. It was like my body's way of saying, okay,
it's go time.
Got real, you know? So, for me, it felt like a menstrual cramp, and I hear a lot of women say that it feels like menstrual cramps to them as well.
Okay, so FAQ number 9, how soon after birth can I have sex?
Well, my care practitioner always said 6 weeks. So that's, you know, so the cervix completely closes again and the uterus goes back down, involutes back down to that pear-shaped size.
Yeah.
So that's what they're concerned about, really, you know.
I have this funny story. There was a male in the practice that I was receiving my second child's care under, and he came in to check up on me in the hospital and said, okay, everything's looking really great. It's, your bleeding looks good. You can go ahead if you're up to it and go ahead and start having sex again at 3 weeks. And I just remember
no, thank you.
Did you tell your husband?
Well, did you just only to laugh and say that's ridiculous.
Not happening.
And then just, you know, shift change. The next midwife comes in and she says, I don't want, you look great, bleeding's good. I don't want anything near that vagina until you're at least 6 weeks. Yeah. And I just remember chuckling. I was like, oh, he just doesn't understand. But yeah, and then it's a matter of like that, I think, is it's a guideline. But then there are other issues that may even keep you out of it longer.
Of course. I mean, even the fact of having a C-section, do you, and you may have to change things up pretty drastically. I mean, if you want someone on top of your scar, that's when, I don't know. I didn't want anyone really close to me for much longer.
Yeah.
Plus, I was on, like, pain meds if you have a C-section.
And if you're breastfeeding.
Leaking everywhere.
You're leaking. They're there for other purposes.
Yeah.
They're sensitive.
Well, with breastfeeding, that does sometimes just the hormones going
the
on.
Oxytocin.
Causes vaginal dryness.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so if you're going to have sex, it's a really good idea to find a good lubricant.
Yes.
Yeah.
And go slow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and you know, if there's vaginal tearing, you know, that brings a whole nother, element in there. You know, are the stitches going to come apart? Well, you know, I don't know. I mean, do you want a penis in there at a week after postpartum?
You know,
probably not.
We've done some episodes about sex after baby, and I think the key takeaway from this is that it's all about communication with you and your partner.
Yes.
And there are other ways to be intimate without having intercourse. And I think the more we talk about it, I don't know, I think they have a tendency to understand a little bit more when we explain. You know, it's not just us saying, you know, just retracting and saying, you know, I just don't want you to touch my body. I mean, there's real reasons behind it, right?
Okay. And FAQ number 10. Will I fit back into my pre-pregnancy clothes?
I'm still battling. Got the battle of the bulge going on, you know.
Just depends on the
It depends on the pregnancy, too. With my two older children, it wasn't until I stopped breastfeeding that I lost the last, like, 10 pounds, I guess it was. With my second, I had just that week gotten back into a pair of size sixes, and then I got pregnant. And I'm still, now after my third baby, I'm still not there. But I know, you know, I'm less freaked out now with my third baby than I was with my first. But, you know, it's not a forever thing.
Yeah, I think that's how you have to look at it. It's a finite period of time. And what is more important, you getting in your skinny jeans or your children eating? You know, you look at it like that. But I have those moments too. You know, I'm not, when am I now? 8 months postpartum with the twins. Actually, today I mustered up my confidence and I put on my bigger pair of jeans, but these are not maternity jeans and I'm not really comfortable in them. I'm sure I have a lot of marks on my body right now. I'm not normal now and that's okay. It's
and
life.
Just forgiving your body, because it took 9-10 months to get to that bigger, bigger size. We were growing a human.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So well, that's a pretty amazing thing, to grow and birth and feed a baby. Your body is amazing, and it's just going to take some time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, thank you to our panelists for joining today. For more information about our panelists, visit the episode page on our website. This conversation continues for members of the Preggy Pals Club. After the show, we're going to be discussing funny pregnancy moments and how to recover from them. To join our club, visit our website, www.newmommymedia.com.
Hi, Preggy Pals. We have a question for one of our experts. Tiffany in Colorado Springs writes, I'm pregnant with my first baby, and I'm really afraid of tearing when I give birth. Would an episiotomy be better than tearing?
Hi, Tiffany. My name is Ray Kamali, and I'm an OBGYN practicing in San Diego. Thanks for this interesting question. Not all deliveries cause vaginal lacerations. In fact, the majority of vaginal deliveries cause small tears or no tears or lacerations at all. Clinically, we noticed that the tears, if any, are less traumatic than episiotomies, so we do not routinely cause episiotomies. Of course, there are exceptions. For instance, if the baby's heart rate decreases or if there are other emergencies where an episiotomy is made or cut to facilitate and expedite the delivery. Otherwise, we allow the head to stretch the perineum and vagina and try to deliver without any cuts or tears. Cutting episiotomies causes more blood loss, and at times the cut can extend down towards the rectum or other parts of the perineum. For this reason, recommendations are to allow for natural delivery without episiotomy.
That wraps up our show for today. We appreciate you listening to Preggy Pals. Don't forget to check out our sister shows, Parent Savers for parents with newborns, infants, and toddlers, Twin Talks for parents of multiples, and our show The Boob Group for moms who breastfeed their babies. This is Preggy Pals, your pregnancy your way.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating healthcare problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified healthcare provider.
New Mommy Media is expanding our lineup of shows for new and expecting parents. If you have an idea for a new series, or if you're a business or organization interested in joining our network of shows through a co-branded podcast, visit newmommymedia.com.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Hey, mamas. Don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.